Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Bill Dillmeyer. He helps companies raise money, overcome obstacles, and accelerate growth. With over a decade of experience in SaaS startups, Series A and C, and unicorns, he specializes in transforming financial data into actionable strategies, optimizing revenue channels, and scaling operations to meet the demands of high-growth companies. Bill, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
Hello, Josh. It's a pleasure to be here. The one thing that I would think of when answering that question would be, honestly, good old-fashioned listening. I mean, for me, I really pride myself on being at times a finance business partner. And much of my success comes from just sitting and listening to domain experts in finance, sales, marketing, and product, and just letting them tell me what's on their mind. And then from there, bringing it back and synthesizing that into really actionable data that you can either use to raise money, solve a business problem, optimize your business. I mean, for me, picking up on little nuances like, oh, the marketing funnel slowing down. Like, what does that mean? That's going to have a knock-on effect in the business. And if you don't get in front of it, at least from a SaaS perspective, if you miss that bookings number, you've just now right-shifted all of your cash flow 36 months to the right. So that really has a detrimental effect. So I'm just going to break it down and go to old-fashioned listening, Josh.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's the simplest things. The smartest people in the world really appreciate when you don't make them think so hard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get so sophisticated with our methods and our strategies and our ideas that we forget the fundamentals. And sometimes the fundamentals just say, dude, close your mouth, open your ears, and pay attention.
I couldn't agree more. And really, so much of our business now is about messaging and positioning. And, you know, there's times where I think of myself as a bit of a professional storyteller, except I just happen to use Excel and PowerPoint as my primary mediums. But it's agonizing hour by hour, like in slide sorter. I'm like, okay, what if I put this first? What if I put this second? How do I go ahead and craft the narrative that I want someone to take away? And there's nothing wrong with just breaking it down to a very simple outcome of here's where I'm going to be, here's where I want to be. But I mean, if you want, I'll actually give you my best practice on storytelling.
I definitely want to hear that, but I got caught off guard by like a finance guy saying, I am a storyteller, but I tell my stories through spreadsheets and PowerPoint. And it was like, that's the craziest thing that I've heard in a while, but like it immediately made sense at the same time. It's like, I'd never thought about that before. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And actually I look at every slide, not really as a slide, it's a storyboard. Like I put on my creative hat and really start to kind of channel, you know, what it would be like to be in advertising. Like I really admire like the guys at Liquid Death and how they go ahead and position their product and tell the story and create a just amazing content. But as a finance guy, yeah, if you want to raise money, if you want to go ahead and get the board on to your next idea and be a believer, you definitely have to be crafting some story, and it's going to have some financials. It's going to have some call to actions as you would in a marketing campaign. And it's really that same type of medium and thought process. Like, what's my hook? How do I go ahead and show my value and go ahead and get people to commit?
What would you say as somebody who has worked with huge corporations and startups, funded startups and probably the bootstrap startups too. What would you say is the big difference in the lessons that you learn, like from a startup that could transfer to a large company and vice versa?
That's such a great question. From a startup to a large corporation, I would definitely say be nimble. Like, it doesn't need to be a full blown project to be able to go ahead and deliver. Take an idea, figure out the fewest number of steps required to go ahead and execute it. I think it was, Jeff Bezos back in the early days of Amazon. He would actually hold meetings, and the number of people invited was the number of slices in a pizza, because that's how many people you needed to be in the room to get from ideation to execution. So, how do you go ahead and clear cut that process?
Yeah,
Is one way.
because when we grow, sometimes it creates a little bit of a personnel bloat, if you will. We oh, I need Sally in HR to do this one thing, and then oh, I need this, and we kind of like Frankenstein it, and it gets really inefficient really fast.
Exactly. The more layers of bureaucracy, the more layers of management that you put in, the harder it is to get to yes. There's too many people, I think we've all been there, who are maybe protecting their ego, who don't want to take that chance, or people who find it easier to say no rather than say yes to an idea. And to your point about what could startups learn from corporations, I think startups could learn that. For me, customer research is king. And there are so many startups that actually kind of go in the opposite direction. They'll build something and then say, oh, this is what my consumer wants, without doing any research. Thankfully, now you're seeing an emergence of like PLG, product-led growth, to go ahead and get in front of that. But for the longest time, a lot of the startups that I had worked with were in this, if we build it, they will come type of mindset. And it does not work. It does not scale, because you're just a bunch of guys in a room thinking that you've got everything figured out.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, and then you mentioned Jeff Bezos, because I actually saw an interview clip just yesterday that was interviewing a Jeff Bezos who still had hair. So this was like pre-2000,
Oh, yeah.
and the interview, they had to ask him who he was, and like this was bet before you knew who he was, and he said, they said, why did you pick books? And his answer was, I picked books. The reason he was working in finance, and he saw that internet usage had grown by like 5,000% in the last year and a half. And he went to look into it and thought, well, I could sell just about anything on the internet, but what's the best first thing to sell? And the best first thing to sell was books, because there at any given time were over 2 million different books in all the different languages in print actively all the time. So there were so many different products that a lot of people could buy them. And that's why it wasn't random. He chose books because it was one of the easiest things to sell in mass on the internet, because there was always so many of them. And so if he'd have gone on and sold some other random device or food or something first, then there's a good chance it could have failed, because it wouldn't have supported that kind of network effect and kind of gaining critical mass.
No, exactly. I mean, if you look at it from a barrier to entry perspective, I love that notion, and the way you'd outline that was books. I mean, they are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. People still enjoy that tactile feel of reading from a book. And yeah, if you're thinking about launching a business, it's always about what are the fewest barriers to entry that I need to be able to go ahead and get there. Like, look at the emergence of knowledge workers in, shall we say, like being a fractional leader. It's very easy to take 10 years of experience and then now call yourself a fractional leader, because you've got all of this thought leadership in your head. You can quickly go out and try to cultivate a market, build followers, and you're not trying to go ahead and create a heady service. You're not trying to build the next great AI. You're just simply out there using what you've learned over the years to be able to try to go ahead and create a monetization stream.
And so you said earlier about telling stories with spreadsheets, which I still love, by the way. Like, I'll never forget that. I'm seeing you like in like this Shakespeare outfit, like on a stage, and you're like, "Hark yonder," and it's like a Excel spreadsheet on a projector, you know? Like, that's what I imagine. So, if you ever come and speak at one of my events, I expect you to show up looking like that.
I would be happy to come in full costume, and I will say that I often inject levity, cartoons, jokes into the PowerPoint presentations. And simple like a wordplay is always fun. Like I did one, it was a company that I was working with, their sales pipeline was just upside down. They made a lot of really bad choices. And, the head of the slide was like pipeline integration. And I actually changed it to be pipeline disintegration. And it really, helped set the stage for what was going on in the room. And only a couple of people picked up on it at the time, but they're like, oh yeah, the
Yeah,
clever
slow
finance guy.
burn. Yeah.
Low
And
burn, exactly.
so for those of us who don't enjoy spreadsheets, if you were to boil it all down and choose one metric, there's like one main metric that we really, really need to keep our finger on the pulse of, what would it be?
Oh, cash. Every day it's cash. If you do not understand your cash flow, you're going to get upside down really, really quick. And for example, if you're thinking about, selling a product, like there's two basic sales models that you can follow. You can do sort of an annual subscription where your customers pay upfront, which is great because you actually have then 12 months worth of cash in your pocket. But if you're in, say, a B2C and you're selling a monthly recurring subscription, you're really at the whim of that customer coming back to you every month and making a sales decision, making a value prop decision. So unless you can really understand your customer dynamics, that will have a tremendous sway on your business.
Cash
And
is king.
cash is always king. Yes.
Well said. And so, Bill, where can we learn more about what you do and who's a great fit to connect with you?
Sure. One of the things that I'm working on now, actually, I just launched a company called Venture Fuel. So you can check us out at venturefuel.xyz. And what we do is we partner with founders because we know being a founder is hard. And one of the things we offer is a full suite of fractional services to you at a fixed price every month. So I'll sell you a, say, a 20-hour retainer. And over that 20 hours, we'll say, you know what? You need to go deep on marketing. Hey, you need to go deep on product. You need to go deep on sales. I can bring you all of the experts and you'll get them over the course of your retainer to allow you as a business owner to continue to focus on the most important things. I mean, if you look at it the inverse way, as a business owner, do you want to interview five different CMOs, look at eight different rate cards across all of the fractional leaders you're working with? For us, we bring you all of the leaders at one price.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, and as a guy who has hired COOs and CMOs, it's and been wrong about it. It's very painful to get that wrong. Whereas, you know, if you're bringing it in and you take care of it and you swap it out for the right person if needed, that makes it a ton easier. And so once again, where can we go to learn more about that?
Venturefuel.xyz, or you can send me a message directly. Bill@venturefuel.xyz is the best way to reach me. We're on LinkedIn. We post every day exciting content about the role of fractional leaders. It's something that I've been really passionate about and always looking to actually increase our bench of fractional leaders as well. Right now, we've got a pretty solid bench, but we're always looking to find that next great fractional leader that wants to come and work with a really dynamic team. For example, like marketing, are you a product marketer, demand gen marketer, product marketer? So for us, because it comes in so many different flavors, we want to be able to go ahead and offer our customers the biggest amount of depth possible on the bench to go ahead and solve the problems that you're facing.
Excellent. Well, hey, we're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Bill Dillmeyer, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done. For those of you who are considering a fractional C-suite and packaging it all together under one roof, you can learn more at venturefuel.xyz. And whether you're on your morning commute in the gym or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That's it. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factorone.io. Once again, that's factorone.io. We'll see you next time.